This is Soulful Living on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Terry Williams.
Hey, wherever you are in the world today, I welcome you to another 30 minutes of Soulful Living here at Empower Radio. I always love the guests that I have on. I feel so honored to interview so many incredible people with awesome messages to share with the world. And from a soul's perspective, when I have a conversation with somebody whose sole purpose in life is to elevate the planet, in particularly when it's based on love, I get even more excited. And a few years ago, 5 years ago, actually, in August of 2011, I had the opportunity to chat with Terry Britt, former Miss USA. And we had a conversation on my show, Welcome to Blissville. And since then, we have developed a wonderful relationship. I've even visited her live, which was great. We had an awesome conversation. And she's in the process of launching what I think is something that all of us need to tap into. And that's our worthiness quotient. How do we feel about ourselves in so many aspects of our lives? Well, Terry has had her own journey. And this process that she's developed is an amazing tool to help us all tune into how worthy we really feel, or areas that we don't feel worthy in. And rather than my trying to express it, I invite you on, Terry, to share the details with us.
Thanks, Terry. Wow, you're right. We are just launching this, but I feel as if the worthiness quotient is my life message. I feel like I've been working to get to this point for many, many years. I've been studying energy. I've been teaching women about loving themselves, and I teach what I had to learn. So it's the culmination of that. So this is a big day for me. This is the launch of the Worthiness Quotient Quiz, and then it will lead you to going deeper into understanding where you are not open to receiving, because most of us think, oh, yeah, I'm open to receive. I believe I deserve this. But then when we look at our reality and we look at how hard our life is, or what's not showing up, or the things we're in want about, that is a determining factor to tell us that our worthiness quotients are not where we want them to be.
Well, and I love that you said the lessons that you needed to learn. You know, we do teach what we've needed to learn. And I think that when people think of former Miss USA, they don't think that you could possibly have felt anything less than a valued person.
I get what you're saying. If you were to see my winning moment and see how my mouth hit the ground and I collapsed almost, you would see that I wasn't really expecting to win. And it did not change my worthiness quotient. What it did do is it planted a seed that when you follow your heart, miracles show up. Because I talked about drinking beer, dipping skull in the back of a pickup truck in the top 12. I mean, I was not your typical Miss USA. I had short brown hair. I just didn't have that typical look. But here's a little secret that most people don't know, is that night after winning the title, I sat in my hotel room with my family and my boyfriend. Well, we were actually engaged, but I didn't have the ring on my hand yet. We were planning a wedding. And I contemplated giving the title back because I felt so much guilt about receiving. Winning meant that I was going to be shipped to New York and he was going to be left in Arkansas. And all I could think about were his feelings and how he was going to react. I couldn't receive that amazing opportunity. Well, luckily everybody talked some sense into me. Mm-hmm. But here's another interesting thing. By the end of the year, I won $150,000 in cash and prizes. And by the end of the year, all of it was gone except for 10 grand, because my dad had encouraged me to give him half of it was cash, to give him the cash to invest. He lost all of it in that investment. I had to sell my prizes to be able to pay my taxes. The only thing that I had gotten was my car, but I had ordered it for my sister so that, because I was dating Wayne Newton, and Wayne says, oh, you don't need to have a car. You have got plenty of cars. You're going to be with me in Vegas. And so I ordered the car to my daughter, my sister's specifications, which was bright yellow, which was not my taste. So I gave her the car. By the end of the year, all the money was gone. Just to preface it, because my boyfriend and I broke up, and then I got with Wayne, and then, you know, at the end, right at the last 6 weeks of Miss USA, before I gave up my title, he dumped me.
Mm. No surprise, so, right?
Yeah, I mean, and let me explain why. This is what I've seen over the years, because I'm an energy worker.
Mm-hmm.
Is your worthiness quotient is based in your vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And energy attracts similar energy. That's the law of vibration. So if you have beliefs, even if your conscious mind says, oh, yeah, I deserve to receive, and yes, I believe I can have all these things. But if you're having a life that's hard, that feels like you can't break through your glass ceilings, your relationships aren't working, that something is wrong, there is a tendency to look at it and say, okay, I need to look at my worthiness quotient. I mean, you need to do that, because what it's telling you is that your worthiness quotient is lacking. Now, sometimes I do want to make this caveat. Sometimes when those things are happening, it's because we are shifting our worthiness quotients, and those things fall away, like a boyfriend will fall away, because you are coming to the place that you know you deserve something better. And so you have attracted that person into your life, or that relationship, or that work situation, whatever it is, you have attracted it into your life at times because you're ready to see, this isn't working anymore, and I'm ready to be done. So it's the step to raise your worthiness quotient. But most of the time, when things are hard, if we're not in a state of awareness, if we're not looking at our life and how can I grow deeper into loving myself, how do I get connected to who I am and the way I was created, then those things are showing you, they're like your gifts telling you, your worthiness quotient is low, it's time to shift it.
Well, and it shows up in so many different aspects of your life. It's not just relationships. It's not just money. And
no.
When you developed the quiz itself, you know, you looked at the different areas of our lives that I would say pretty much are the most common. But mm-hmm. wherever you are along the line, there's awarenesses that you can shift and use to help create an awareness in the other aspects of those of your life, right?
Oh, yeah. I have to tell you, it's been so much fun. I had a lot of my students take the quiz.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so interesting because some of them came back and said, wow, this was so cool, because I realized where I was a year ago before I started working with you and how far I've come. But I also recognize how much more I want to love myself, because your worthiness quotient is based on how much you love yourself.
Mm.
And the more you love yourself, the more you go into saying, I'm okay, I am enough, I'm just the way I was meant to be created, there's nothing wrong with me. And the more you can go into acceptance and unconditional love, then your worthiness quotient goes up. So it's so fun to see people going, wow, this is really interesting. Look at how far I've come, or look at where I'm not putting attention on in my life. I've got these other places that I'm loving myself, but look at this one. Maybe my health is not the best, or maybe I'm not following my passions or my purpose, or maybe I'm not really open to miracles, or it could be something as your love life. These are some of the things we cover in the Worthiness Quotient quiz, and it's simple. It takes about 2 or 3 minutes. It sounds like it's, oh my gosh, this is going to be a quiz. I'm going to be taking an SAT, you know, like you do all day.
Oh my God, it was super easy. I mean, I as you know, I took the quiz twice, and mm-hmm. it was super easy, super fast, and I loved the results. And some of the things that I thought were really cool is that aspects of my life are changing. So, you know, you talk about how, you know, things may come into your life or you're ready for a shift, and aspects of my life are changing. My work is changing, and my monetary world is changing.
Mm-hmm.
My husband and I have just kind of come up with different agreements in our life. And now as as less and less responsibility on a personal level shows up, I'm ready to step into more work, and which means earning more money. And it's like, okay, how is this going to happen? So I found it very interesting that those were two of my two of the areas mm-hmm. that I needed to focus on my own worthiness.
Yes, yes. Mine's my health,
mm-hmm.
and because it always tends to go on the back burner,
mm-hmm.
and that is my biggest issue. But your health is also where you manifest so much. I mean, when you're taking care of your body and loving it, you're saying yes to the physical. So that's been one of my biggest life issues, is to say yes to my body, to love it and nurture it. And for many years, you'd think, you know, as a former Miss USA, that that would have been one of my top priorities,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't. It's never been a priority to me. And the spiritual walk has been my priority, especially because I had so much anger because I was always trying to win at life mm-hmm. and do it right and be good and be the best. You know, in my relationships, I'd give myself up, but when it came out into the world with my work, it was competing. As a mother, it was trying to compete. So you know, I was always this emotional mess. I'm very, 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 very angry.
Mm-hmm. Do you think of yourself too, Terry? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I kept hearing like perfectionist. Did
yeah.
you feel like in those areas of your life you were striving for perfection?
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
But not your health.
And I forgot my health.
Yeah.
That's so right on, Terry. Thank you for acknowledging that. Yeah, it was. And my perfectionism, when we're striving so hard to be perfect, a lot of people will look at someone who's trying to be perfect, and they're just like, oh, Miss Goody Two-Shoes. She
right.
thinks she needs to be perfect. It is exactly the opposite.
Oh, there's so many underlying factors that come into play there.
Mm, it's lack.
Yes.
The perfectionism is based in lack, and it's based that I have to perform to win your love and approval. I have to perform to be the best. But performing also tells us we need to shut down our voices. We need to hide our light. So there's this complete emotional chaos and conflict that goes on within us.
Mm-hmm.
But we just want to say, tell me I'm okay. Tell me I'm all right. And that's what I did. That's what I lived my life as. And because I was in such lack, I would put that happy face mask on and suppress, 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 and then I would blow up. And that's where my anger would reveal itself.
So listeners, I'm chatting with Terry Britt. You can find all of Terry's information here at the Soulful Living page on Empower Radio. And we're talking about your worthiness quotient and Terry's work in inspiring and elevating your personal level of love. When I think of you, Terry, that's what I think of. You're like you said it earlier, you are here to shift the planet to live more in love. And I think it's a beautiful undertaking that you have taken on in spite of your own experiences in life. And I say in spite, but actually,
because
we were talking about, it's what spurred you forward, and kept you moving forward to help shift the planet towards a place of love. And so we've kind of talked a little bit about love life and health and relationships, work, money. You also tap into people's passions and their purpose
mm-hmm.
and help them see and become aware of where they can step up. I don't want to use the word lack, where they're lacking there, but it's where they can step up and how they can really live their passion and their purpose.
Absolutely. To me, Terry, when you're living in your passion and your purpose, when we were walking our journey, trying to be good, trying to be the best, we disconnect from those things that are our truths. And our goal is to get into our truth. Well, our deepest truth is that we have a purpose. And our purpose is to be who we are and to express ourselves as love with our gifts. But we have to get into our gifts and we have to get into our passions.
Mm-hmm.
What I've seen been studying this for a long, long time, is that if we were brought up to believe that we needed to be good or do it right to win love and approval, then we equate being good as loving. We equate good as, this is what I need to do to win your love and approval. Well, in our society, we're not really programmed to believe that passion is a good thing. We're brought up as children, sit over in the corner, be quiet, Don't be passionate. If you get too loud, you're going to bother people. We see that all the time. Mm-hmm. So we're told very early on, don't be passionate.
Right.
And that was one of the big things that I had to learn. But let me tell you, when I gave myself permission to be passionate, holy cow. It was interesting because my husband, my late husband, had had prostate cancer. And now we're talking about sexually. So our passion was kind of suffering, but we were suffering in our lives passionately overall. Mm-hmm. But I kept holding this vision of passion, and I did the inner work that I teach a lot in my work about going in and cleaning up my beliefs around passion and being good and not being able to express myself that way. Well, lo and behold, he had beaten the prostate cancer. With a 2% chance of survival, he beat it. And right as I was coming into this sense of, oh man, I'm really giving myself permission to be passionate, he and I were taking a dance class. We were really coming alive together as a couple again. And he drops dead of a heart attack.
Oh my gosh.
Well, the next day, I'm not kidding when I say this, the next day, my husband now showed up on the doorstep. He was an acquaintance. He was a single dad. His wife had committed suicide. Mm-hmm. He lived in my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. His daughter and my daughters were on the same dance team. But I didn't know him because his daughter was between my girls, and you usually hang out with your kids' friends' parents. So
right.
It was
mom.
A big dance team. You know that.
Absolutely.
And so I didn't know him very well, but he knocked on the door and he said, let me support you.
Aww.
Let me support you through this. I've been through it. Let me share with you some of the things you need to know. Well, next thing I know, I was trying to get him fixed up with a friend, and one day he finally said, I'm not interested in her. He didn't say I'm interested in you because he was trying to give me space and time.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, you were just waiting, weren't you? You were like a little hawk, just waiting to swoop in there. But 3 months later, we started dating, and it was a year and a half after my late husband's death that Charlie and I got married, and we have the most passionate, fun, alive relationship that you could imagine.
And you did the work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you did the work to help that all come together and thrive.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Sounds like he did a lot of work too, though.
Well, you know what was interesting? After his wife committed suicide, he dated a couple of women that he said were just absolutely crazy. He said, what am I doing? I'd just rather be alone living up on my... And he had a farm that... We lived in Florida at the time, or he did, but he had a farm up in Alabama that was very remote. He says, I'm just going to go to the farm and live there. This is crazy. I don't want to be with crazy women. But he got a crazy woman in me, but it's crazy that we have fun. You know, it's not
right.
Like crazy, crazy. But we do. We have this passionate relationship. And I'll never forget when we were just hanging out before we started dating, he said to me, he said, Steve was a little older than you. Was he like a dad? And I said, no. No, I said, we met emotionally. We connect. At this time, I wasn't talking to Charlie about vibration, but I said, we connected on that level. We met emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And because Steve and I did meet vibrationally, but what we were both caught up in was the perfect picture of how a family should be. He
mm-hmm.
was doing the typical, let me prove my dad wrong. I'm going to make millions. And he did. We had the 7,000 square foot house, the 50 foot yacht, the classic cars. We lived up in the hills in Manhattan Beach, California, which is a beautiful place to live. But we were both miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And
it happens in every aspect of your life. You know, you can't, just because you're happy or seemingly happy in one area, there can be underlying factors, as you know.
Absolutely. And luckily, I started doing this work, and mine and Steve's relationship completely changed. I mean, we came together. We've really connected on a heart level. We made it our mission to be together and to really what I call putting God first, and that was to each of us to love and honor who we are and be fully authentic and create deep intimacy. So we did that, but there was still that little bitty bit right before he died about passion, and we had that 6 weeks of it to the point where we were taking this dance class, and the teacher said, are you guys on your honeymoon? You act like you're on your honeymoon.
Oh, that's so
and then he
sweet.
Dropped it.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's not so much, obviously, that he passed like that. But, I mean, when you think about it, though, you before his passing, you were able to come to that place of deep love and passion and caring and honoring mm-hmm. each other. So that, in and of itself, is really beautiful.
It was. I mean, I remember the night that he passed. because as I said, he had a 2% chance of survival with his prostate cancer, and and I'm an intuitive, and that's a lot what I teach in my work, is how to tap into your intuition. And I remember sitting on my neighbor's toilet because they had to do a homicide investigation because Steve was by himself when he died, so he was on his face, and they had to make sure everything was okay, so I couldn't even see him.
So
I sat there on the toilet just shaking, and I called in his spirit, and I said, "Why now? Why now?" And he said, "I finally let go of the controls." What I felt is he was such an earth angel to me that I helped him. I felt like he helped me move into my life work and to get to a place that I felt really, really solid, that I could be in a space of loving myself. I really felt like he helped me love myself. I mean, I remember him saying, I remember saying to him years ago, "You're taking my power away." And he looked at me and he says, "Honey, I'm not taking your power away. You're giving it away." So he played that little earth angel part. And I mean, he had his crap. I had my crap. But, you know, we just, it was beautiful how we worked together. And he used to say to me, after I started doing all the spiritual work, he would say to me, "You're the grounding cord for our family." Because I would just, he'd come in each day and just kind of just lean over and let me take him in my arms. So what's wonderful about it is that I felt like he prepared me for this beautiful relationship that I have with Charlie.
And you two are amazing. I love watching you guys on Facebook. I love the articles that you share with, through your blogs, and really let the world see where you are. Good, bad, and indifferent. And I think
Absolutely.
That's really awesome that you are that, that you're authentic. Because a lot of people, as we know, we can watch the news, we can read articles from all over the world, and a lot of people don't share that authenticity. And so I really honor you for that, and I thank you for that, for sharing that with the world. So we have our worthiness, you know, we take the quiz and we see the benefits of it. Can we begin immediately shifting?
Absolutely.
By knowing, with that awareness, can we begin to immediately shift into something, to a higher vibration in those areas?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's interesting when you take the quiz. I had one woman pre-test it for me. Hers was very low. She's not done any of this work. She's had a lot of abandonment issues, and I know her very well. She took the quiz. It was extremely low. But you know what it did for her? She said, "I'm done." It made her get so solid that it was time for her, because her whole life, she's given herself up. She bad relationships. She's been making some changes to help raise her worthiness quotient. I mean, she was with a guy who was just more or less abusive, and she finally kicked him out the door. But to see her, you know how you can feel when someone's really standing in their truth all of a sudden, that you can just feel, let them go, woo.
Yeah. It's like it hits your heart almost.
Yep. That's what it did for her.
That's awesome. Well, time goes by so fast, right? We're down to the wire here. And it's really been exciting for me to be a part of it on your launch day. Listeners, again, I'm chatting with Terry Britt. You can find all of her information on the Soulful Living page here at Empower Radio with a link to the quiz. TerryBritt.com/quiz. It'll be on the page here. And that's Terry with two R's and two T's at the end. So you'll definitely.
And an I, because sometimes Terry's spelled with a Y.
Right. I'm an I too. My husband always says she's one T, one E, one R, one I. That's why I said the two R's for you, sister.
Yeah.
You'll find it there. And I encourage you to take the quiz. It was really an eye opener for me, and I look forward to what's coming next. So, Terry, I love for my guests to leave the listeners with a thought they can take out into the day to elevate their soul, or, you know, maybe raise their level of worthiness today. What would that be for you?
What I would say more than anything is to go into awareness of, is this feeling loving to me? And we have been programmed to believe that loving is giving ourselves up. I want you to really think about, am I performing for other people to love me, or am I loving myself? Mm. And if you recognize that you're performing, that you're seeking approval outside of yourself, or you're trying to win at something, I want you to stop and say, no more. I'm done. I'm taking a stand for raising my worthiness quotient.
That gave me chills from head to toe. That was awesome. Well, thank you, my dear. And I look forward to doing this again.
Thank you, Terry. Always.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye,
everybody.
Thank you.